T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
This is St. Louis's News Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends.
And this is Overtime.
Let's do it.
All right, it's 8:32. We've made it to Friday, ladies and gentlemen, and it is September the 18th. We have an amazing fall forecast in store for us. I think people are already thinking about getting the fire pits going, some hot cocoa, maybe carve the pumpkins. We're very lucky considering some weather conditions that others around the country are experiencing, and here we have this beautiful weekend. Good morning, John Hancock.
Good morning.
And look who's here. It's Braxton Payne of Show Me Victories.
Good morning, Debbie.
It is nice to speak with you again.
You as well.
Hey, Brax.
Hi, John.
Oh, you guys are on a even closer level there.
Oh, yeah, we go
hey,
way
Brax.
Back. We go way back.
Can I call you Brax, too?
Please do.
Okay. All right. Well, Brax and John, it was a very touching night last night because the Pro Football Hall of Fame getting another member of the Buck family, Joe Buck, has been awarded the 2020 Pete Rozelle Award, meaning he will be enshrined in Canton along with Jack Buck, who won the award in 1996. And that makes Joe and Jack Buck the only father-son duo to win the award.
Joe, I know your dad would be very proud that you're following in his footsteps, because tonight we're announcing that you are the recipient of this year's Pete Rozelle Award for 2020. Making the Bucks the first father and son to ever do so. Congratulations, Joe. Welcome to Canton.
Joe Buck learned that news while he was calling last night's game with Troy Aikman. It was the Bengals-Browns game on Fox. John Hancock, your thoughts on Joe joining Jack in the Hall of Fame?
How cool is that? And, you know, it's just a matter of time until they join each other in Cooperstown in the Baseball Hall of Fame. Just what a great legacy, you know, Jack Buck, who meant and means so much to this station, and to see, you know, the heights that his son has achieved in the same profession is, you know, very touching.
Brax?
Yeah, I think it's awesome. I mean, St. Louis should be really proud. I mean, I grew up with their voices on the radio and on television, and it's something, you know, my dad texted me immediately. And he was just like, no, this is so cool. I just think it's something that all St. Louisans can be really proud about. And it's they've made St. Louis really proud.
You know what I've never quite understood is the Joe Buck backlash. I don't know if it's as strong in St. Louis as it is around the country. And Joe Buck talks about this, too. And yeah. I think for a while he had to get off Twitter because people slag on him all the time. And I've never really understood it. Do you, John?
Well, I mean, that's the nature of social media.
But I mean, more for Joe Buck than a lot of other sportscasters.
I think he's so good at what he does. And it seems so effortless the way he does it. And I think a lot of people, you know, take umbrage to that fact. And whether it's jealousy or people feeling, you know, somehow that they've not achieved anything in life. But social media, you know, there's so much crap that people put on there that anonymously, and you just have to ignore it.
Braxton, yeah, I agree with you.
I guess when whatever game he is calling, the people who are fans of will say that he is rooting for the other team.
Right.
So I guess he's doing it right.
Yeah, I think that as St. Louisans, we get a little protective. I see it with hockey announcers on Twitter as well. They get a lot of backlash, but I think we all take it very personally when he gets attacked on Twitter. And I agree with John. Twitter is just a place where it's just a dark hole, honestly.
Cesspool. The cesspool out there.
Although there are good things on Twitter, but yes, a lot of nasty, angry people hang out there. How about TikTok? I have to say that my children spend an inordinate amount of time on TikTok. And once you do start watching TikTok, it is rather addictive. But for those of you listening who have not looked at TikTok or downloaded it yet, I guess you better do it now, because the United States will ban the use of WeChat and TikTok as of Sunday to safeguard the national security of the United States. The Chinese app TikTok will be banned by November 12th, but Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross said that access to the app may be possible if certain safeguards are in place. And this is all to combat China's malicious collection of American citizens' personal data. Braxton, are you concerned about China stealing your apps if you're on TikTok?
This one's a tough one for me because I am an avid TikTok user. I love it. It's something that it's not toxic like other social media platforms. I understand the need to safeguard certain things in our security, but anything online is pretty much available to hackers. My question is why wait till November 12th to ban it after the election? Why don't we just do it tomorrow? If it's really that big of a concern, why don't we do it sooner?
Yeah, I mean, the only thing, I don't know anything about TikTok. I do like Tic Tacs, those small little candies.
Yeah, totally different.
And so I hope they don't ban those. But, I hate to see the government banning stuff. I don't know. Maybe that's just my libertarian streak that I have. But I also don't like the Chinese stealing our personal information. So I don't have a strong feeling about the old Tic Tac here.
Yeah, I will say too. I was actually at a gas station yesterday, and those gas station television sets, they were talking about how YouTube is coming out with their own version called YouTube Shorts. So I think that people that are on TikTok are going to find a new avenue, and they're going to be just fine.
Hmm. All right. Well, we will see.
Fascinating.
I do have an issue with those TVs in the gas pumps because they're so loud, blaring at you. Like, can I have 5 seconds of peace?
No,
why?
Kidding.
Why are you shouting at me with your TV?
If you're on the phone when you put, take up, and the guy's hollering and screaming at you from a gas pump.
Jeez, it's so annoying.
What's the matter with people?
All right. Well, that's our morning rant. We have to check traffic and weather, and we'll be back with round two of OT next. All right. Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
What was I hearing in the news today? Is today he died 50 years ago.
Wow.
Yeah. I knew there was some Jimi Hendrix news. Now I just want to hear this song.
I know.
All right. But we must march on. Braxton Payne of Show Me Victories is with us. John Hancock. And this is an interesting one because County Executive Sam Page has come under some fire for some of the COVID restrictions, especially regarding youth sports. And the person who is running against him in November for this office has filed a lawsuit about those restrictions. That is, of course, Republican Paul Barry III. He argues that Page's restrictions go beyond his authority under state law and asks the court to halt them immediately. Barry's son is a high school senior athlete, and the suit claims that the restrictions are ruining the college scholarship chances of high school athletes in St. Louis County. It'll now be up to a judge to decide. John, do you support the lawsuit?
Yeah, I think I do. Look, you've got all of the surrounding counties are open. And parents are able to make a choice of whether they want their children to participate in those sports or not. And the sports are going on. It just seems to me that Sam Page, with a very heavy-handed edict here, is denying all of these athletes. And it could be, it could cost real money to those parents as those children are entering college. I hope the lawsuit succeeds. I really do.
Braxton?
Yeah, it's something that's kind of personal for me as well. I still ref high school volleyball. I've been doing it for 11 years now. So I was planning on reffing this fall, and all my games essentially are in St. Louis County, a couple in St. Louis City. So they have all been canceled. I really do feel for these kids, and I talk to the coaches. I talk to the athletic directors, and it's something that I really do feel sorry for them, and it's something that they are having to navigate. But I'm seeing, my friends that ref out in St. Charles County doing it every day. I do think that we do need health restrictions, and I think it should be statewide. That's where Mike Parson has failed. But also, I do really sympathize with these kids. And when it comes to youth sports, it's under 14 is able to play. I think it either should be all or nothing.
It's interesting, though. I'm wondering if the judge, if a judge, it will actually rule on this in any quick order, because the courts, for the most part, have been closed. They meet right. maybe a couple times a week at the most. So there is such a huge backlog in court cases right now that there's not a lot getting through. So if this doesn't get ruled on, is it just a political stunt, John Hancock?
Well, I mean, everything's a political stunt when you're in election season. So, I mean, you know, that's sort of a given. I do think the suit has merit, though. And I'm not certain whether there's a constitutional argument here or exactly what the legal approach is to the lawsuit, but it would seem to me that the suit has merit, and I think, you know, I think we should expect the judge to rule fairly quickly on it. You know, that's a writ of mandamus, I guess. I mean, they're asking for a temporary restraining order. Those, by definition, have to be acted on pretty quickly.
Well, speaking of sports, Braxton, St. Louis City SC might need a bigger stadium. If there were any doubts that there was pent-up demand for a Major League Soccer team in St. Louis, I think that those questions have been handily answered, because they got enough reservations or deposits on tickets in the first 24 hours to fill the new stadium that's not even built yet two times over. Mm. Are you surprised about that?
No, I am not surprised at all. I woke up very early, got in on the pre-sale. I got mine. My mom got theirs. My future father-in-law got his. I mean, I've loved soccer. My dad worked for Veta Sports Clubs for 31 plus years. Soccer is something that's in St. Louis's blood, and I just think it's going to be a logistical nightmare when we actually do get to buy the tickets. So I don't feel for St. Louis SC, but also they have to get a new website, because every time you go on it, it crashes.
It's true. John, were you trying to get online to put in your deposit?
No, but you know, this really interests, I mean, it kind of blew me away. You know, I don't know how much are these season tickets, do we know?
It depends. I mean, depending on whether you want a VIP suite yeah. or standing room only.
What'd you pay, Brax?
So the deposits ranged from $50 to $100, but we don't have the actual prices of what the tickets are going to be yet.
Oh, okay.
So I think that might drive some people away. But if you compare it to like a city like Atlanta, when they first launched, they were anywhere between, you know, $950 a ticket to, I mean, not including suites, you know, $4,000 a ticket.
Wow. Well, I mean, people have money. That's good. And, you know, this is good for the city. I'm supportive and I'm happy for them.
Yeah, of course, they don't begin play until 2023. So 30,000 season tickets went in the first, this is deposits only, in the first 15 minutes, and then 50,000 in the first 24
wow.
hours.
Wow.
That's pretty exciting. All right, we have round three of OT on the way here on The Voice of St. Louis. It's 8:47. It's 8:51. This is round three of Overtime on KMOX. I'm Debbie Monterey, along with John Hancock and Braxton Payne of Show Me Victories. All right. We had the Sturgis thing in South Dakota, which many are now calling a super spreader event from the hundreds of thousands of people who may have contracted coronavirus and then returned to their hometown. Thousands of motorcycle enthusiasts have arrived at Lake of the Ozarks. It's the 14th annual Bike Fest, billed as the largest bike rally in the Midwest. Last year, it drew about 125,000 people to the area. John Hancock, any concerns that this could be the next super spreader event? And does Lake of the Ozarks need this kind of publicity?
I think Lake of the Ozarks is booming. You know, if you just kind of follow I think they're having record profits this year. And, you know, I mean, the motorcycle guys, you know, I like to get on my Harley as much as anybody. But, you know, I mean, they got the mask on, and hopefully it won't be a super spreader event.
Really? They wear their masks? That's good to know.
Well, they got the helmet, and you got the little, you know, windshield thing.
When they're hanging out?
Whatever, something like that.
Braxton?
Face palm. It's extremely frustrating to me. It's just like we continue to do these things and don't expect the virus to spread. You know, I'm trying to plan a wedding during the middle of a pandemic, and obviously I can't have that many people in one place, and these people are just going to do it like nothing's going on. Everything's fine.
What's the wedding date out there, big boy?
supposed to be New Year's Eve, but the probabilities of that are about 10% at this point.
It's hard to plan anything anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I drove out to Defiance last Saturday, went on a hike out on the Lewis and Clark Trail there, and drove by the two biker bars there, and I can tell you there was zero masks involved.
Well, John can always hope. I'm imagining John on his Harley in his leather chaps.
Vroom, vroom, I like to say.
All right, here's another question for you. How long will Christopher Wray have as FBI director before he's fired? Because he was saying yesterday, telling Congress, the FBI director telling Congress that Russia was very active in efforts to use social media, online journals, and state media to denigrate the Biden campaign, and saying it's once again trying to influence the 2020 election. The president was quick to take to Twitter and scold Christopher Wray and say that China was a bigger player. Are you concerned about Russian meddling? And what's the over-under, do you think, on Christopher Wray having a job after this weekend, Braxton?
Yeah, he won't have a job very long. But also, does anyone not think that this is happening? I mean, I think it's common knowledge between Republicans, Democrats, independents, you know, your dog, that Russia meddles in our elections. It's, you know, I don't understand why this is news to the president or he needs to be attacking it just because they're on his side.
Yeah, John? I mean, well, you know, he's telling the truth. You know, that's what we want our FBI director to do, is to tell the truth. He's telling the truth. I hope he doesn't get axed from the job. Christopher Wray, by all accounts, has been a very good FBI director and highly regarded in the institution. And you know, I hope he sticks around.
All right, before we run out of time here, golf had run into some problems. In the late 90s and early 2000s, golf courses were kind of bumming. And after a boom time, some golf courses were closing. But now, golfers have played 10 million more rounds in July than they did just a year ago. It's a 20% increase, according to Golf Data Tech, which is a leading sports market research company. They started tracking the monthly numbers 20 years ago. Play was up 14% year over year in June and up 6% in May. John, I don't know if you are a golfer.
Oh, there's nothing I enjoy more than hopping on the Harley and heading over to the golf course. And,
in your leather chaps.
You know, Michael Kelly's on the golf course today. So we're going to check in with him at 9:05 and see how he's faring on the fairways.
Does it surprise you, though, that people would be golfing?
No, that's what people do.
People have the time now. Braxton, are you a golfer?
No, I think golf is so incredibly boring. and I'll do it. And I've golfed with Mike, I don't know, you know, probably 50 plus times. He can tell you I golf about two holes, and then I sit in the golf cart and I'm DJ and the bartender for the rest of the day.
Yeah.
That sounds like what I do. Yeah. I've golfed twice. I stunk at it both times, and I had to say to myself, do you have the time or the desire?
I retired after my hole in one.
Oh,
of course,
right.
You know, I don't like to talk.
You don't like to brag. Yeah. I don't have that kind of time. But apparently a lot of people do right now. So good for golf courses. Braxton Payne, it was a pleasure having you on again. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, pal.
Thanks, Abby. You too. Thank you. Thanks, John. Enjoy the weather.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.